It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and Daniel Pryor this week, Daniel, we're looking at something that I think people deal with quite often. They deal with it a lot of times when they come to talk to you, is trying to get through being single again. And you're not talking this week so much about maybe widowers and widows, but people maybe who have gone through a divorce and they find themselves single, maybe not willingly, but they're single and now they have to deal with it. It's a real problem.
Yeah, there are similarities where there's been loss through a death of a loved one. There are some similarities. The road to recovery and healing is a little bit different, because there are obviously, with that, if that person is gone, there's not they're not in your life anymore. Whereas a lot of times in a divorce situation, the person is still somewhat in your life, particularly if there are children involved. That person's always in your life. And as you brought out, as we were talking just before the show, sometimes people are happy to be divorced.
Yeah,
it's been such a traumatic and horrible experience that they're glad to be out of it. But a lot of the times that a lot of people that I deal with are people who deal with probably the side of the divorce where the person's been hurt. That's why the person would be coming to counseling. Wouldn't be the person who's glad to get out of the marriage. I think in every divorce most divorces, there's probably one who feels better off out, and maybe the other one is.
So we're going to focus
in
on the person who doesn't feel good about the loss of the marriage.
Yeah, and as we're talking, you know, bear in mind that a lot of the people we're talking to are born again, and so that also presents its own...
Christians don't get divorced.
Yeah,
so
Christians
don't get... There's a big shame there.
Yeah, there is. And actually went through that myself many years ago. Got married really young and really immature, and it lasted a very, very short period of time. So my recovery was not what people who have been in a marriage and a relationship a long time, it is even more devastating. And if there are children involved, it's very devastating. So, but there are there's a path out of, there's a path toward healing and a path toward recovery. It's not an easy path, and it's in fact, it's sometimes not a path that people particularly want to take, because there's a tendency to want to hang on to the past, and for good reasons, because it's such a great loss. I was talking to someone recently, and we were just kind of talking about the whole process that this person's going through, and as we were talking about it, I was kind of put in this place where trying to recall my own process many years ago, even though it was as I said, the marriage didn't last very long, but there was a process of coming out, and I was started to kind of go back there in my mind and relive some of those thoughts and things. And you know, people are, you know, there's the divorce, and then so there's the tendency to kind of want to isolate. And then people are trying to draw you out, and sometimes you don't want to be drawn out, and sometimes you want to talk about it. And then there's, you know, there's the things that I feel obligated I should be doing. Like, for example, for believers, it would be, you know, getting back to church and getting involved in those kinds of things. But it's just so hard to be single again after you've been married. You know, particularly the longer you've been married, the more you've depended on that other person. You know, we could liken it to an amputation, you know, where you've maybe heard or aware of this idea of having like a ghost limb, where the person can actually feel the feelings in the limb. So it's very much like you go out into a social setting, if you can imagine, after a divorce or during a divorce process, and you go out into a social setting and you just don't feel the same because there's a piece of you that's missing. You walk into a social setting, and it's common when we go into a social setting, a new setting, or even a familiar setting sometimes, it's common, a very natural thing for us to kind of scramble mentally to try to figure out, okay, find my place in the social setting. You can imagine like walking into a church service late, and you're sort of looking around for where do you want to sit? And I feel very conspicuous standing here looking for a seat. But if that other person that's always there with me is also there, I'm not as conspicuous. Right. I don't feel quite as conspicuous because I rely on that. But now I don't have that anymore. And now I walk in and you just feel alone everywhere. Mm. So it's hard to be around other people. And social interaction is difficult. So we've heard about this, or there's a kind of a term that goes along with this, Mark, is, you know, well, the person's in denial. You know, we always expect that if somebody's gone through a loss, we like to just kind of put a kind of plaque over their head, in denial. And I like to think of it as hanging on. And so if you, this is good where we're going here for people who are in this process, and also probably everybody out there listening knows somebody that has gone through a divorce or is going through a divorce. Mm. And sometimes it's, I don't know how to act about on people who are going through a divorce. I remember one time in a small church that I was attending, almost immediately after the divorce, and I was in, just trying to process, just trying to really figure out who I am now, and trying to integrate and be a part of this, but not really wanting to because I'm still trying to hang on to hope, you know, from that, you know. So I don't really want to be single. And I remember the pastor coming up and saying, Dan, there's a guy here that's just going through a divorce, and I'd like for you to connect with him. And I didn't want to connect with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had my own story, my own pain, and I didn't want that person's story and that person's pain. I didn't know how to help him.
Did you? Did you get together with him?
I think I remember going over to him, shaking his hand, in the pew there, and, you know, hi, I'm me, or, you know, and you're you. And I don't recall that we ever had a conversation mm-hmm. after that. And I knew where that person was, and he didn't really want. See, one of the things that people want in this, and this is like person after this kind of a loss, they do and they don't want to talk about it.
Mm.
What we don't want in that situation is to talk to somebody who's just going to put a Band-Aid on it or somebody who we feel or we sense doesn't have the time or the ability to really be sincere and feel the pain.
Mm.
I remember having a guy come up to me during that period of time, and he said, I don't forget how it came up, but the divorce thing came up, and he said, I can't even imagine what that would be like. And that was probably the most meaningful thing that someone had said to me for a long time.
Mm.
Because I sensed in that person the ability for him actually to feel that and this was what people want at this time. You know, so they do and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want it to be just like the weather, a small talk. But I think there's a point at which these people do need to, and if you're the person that's going through this process, you do want to, and you do need to talk about it. That's a part.
Do you think people should? Are you saying then that people probably aren't going to want to talk to other people who are divorced? I've heard a lot of times, wouldn't those people have a lot in common, and they could kind of console each other, or they don't? Are you saying that maybe they don't want that? They want somebody who can pull them out of it.
Well, after a certain time passes, I think, and after the person who's gone through the divorce is sort of making sense out of it. Mm. Now, I've also moderated and been involved in what we call a divorce recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can imagine a room with eight people in it that are going through divorce recovery, they're not all moving at the same pace, and some of them probably maybe aren't doing a very good job of it. They're focusing on the wrong thing. It's just hard to have a group like that where people get together and talk about it in a healthy way, although it can be done. But groups are...
Were you like the facilitator of a group like
this? I was a facilitator, yeah, mm-hmm. of a group mm-hmm. like that went on for several months. We did
what were the outcomes? Did it help some people? Some people it helped, some people it didn't?
Well, we went through a DVD series, and on the DVD series, there were testimonies of people for whom this experience was very positive. But for a lot of people, it's not particularly positive.
And why would that be?
Each person has his or her own story. And there's a lot of times in a group, there'll be a person that will kind of take over. Of course, the moderator is supposed to limit all that. But there's so much that has to go on outside of that group. So if people are in a recovery group and they're using that group as the kind of the central point of their recovery, that's probably not going to work. The appropriate use of a group like that would be to go and kind of, you know, it's a it's part of the part of the ability to process and hear other people's stories and to kind of share your own. But that's not where the real work takes place. The real work of healing is going to probably take place in the community of people that you can be involved with, where you can move on beyond that.
Stuff that isn't focused on the fact that you're divorced.
Correct.
Just the real world reintegration.
Yeah.
And how to deal with the world now as a single person and feel okay with that.
Talking about it, sharing about it with people who just have the time to listen. And as the moderator of this group, say, for example, I would have people sharing their stories, and I would listen and listen empathetic, but I'm not part of their world. Mm. And so the best I could do would be to, you know, be an active, responsive listener. But real healing, they need to be able to, if possible, be with people who they feel the person's care. There is something remarkable that happens in that kind of a venue where you can actually sit down with friends or family members and begin to process and talk about this. There's a rewriting of the memory in a sense, because every time you talk about it with people, and this is not the same as just simply dwelling on the past, but as you talk about it with people, you're, in a sense, taking that person back with you to that event. And so now you're, in a sense, your brain thinks you're going through that event with a caring person along beside you. So you
talk about something in here called rewriting the memory.
Yeah, that's it. You know, the initial memory is that I'm going through this by myself and I don't have any friends, if I don't have any support going through this, but if I'm sharing with the person about it, there's something in the brain. The brain doesn't really have the chronological narrative. That's something that happens between the mind and the brain, but the brain doesn't have the chronological narrative to it. So I can actually talk to a person about that painful experience, and in talking to that person, I can have a different experience about my pain, and that is that there's a caring person, and the brain will actually begin to treat that as though the caring person is part of that memory. Mm. And so that's part of processing that and rewriting the memory. The book by Kurt Thompson, The Anatomy of the Soul, is where that thought came from.
Well, it's a difficult subject. People who are single again, single probably not by their own desire, but maybe got divorced, were the one that was left in a divorce. And how do you move on from a hurt like that? If that's something maybe you're dealing with, obviously we've talked about a divorce recovery group has some benefits, but it sounds to me, Daniel, you really obviously believe in some one-on-one counseling to get through this kind of pain. And if people are going through this and they need some help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. And people can also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. You could email Daniel there. You have offices in Bellevue and Edmond still here in the new year.
Yes.
And this is an interesting subject, and all of the interesting discussions are available as well on your website too, BibleBasedCounselor.com. We podcast your broadcast there.
Yes, certainly.
So many different topics there. We'll be back with more of Sound Mind and Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and Daniel Pryor here today talking about a subject that's difficult for a lot of us, being single again. Now, you said you went through a divorce at a young stage in your life, so it didn't have quite the impact on you. But some people who have been married a long time and then they find themselves divorced, it's very painful, and it shakes their faith. You wanted to kind of talk about that in a second.
Yeah, and in fact, I was a believer during that time, and it really shook my faith because it just didn't fit the pattern. And although I was too young to be married and too young to realize the responsibility of all that, I wasn't too young to have kind of a spiritual vision of how I could serve God or how this marriage could serve God. So when it didn't work out, and this is the case with a lot of Christian people, if not all, the faith is shaken because have trouble rationalizing that loss.
Well, you said it feels almost universally people feel like it's a failure. Some ways it is a failure, mm-hmm. but it's so much more than that sometimes.
So much more than that, particularly if you have committed that relationship to God and you're a mm-hmm. believer and you've committed that and you've been a part of a church and they've recognized you as married in the eyes of God and then for some reason it falls apart. Maybe you've tried to keep, maybe you've had counseling, maybe you've tried a lot of things and for some reason, it takes two people to make a marriage and even one person might not believe in it, but if the other person is going down the road that infidelity or whatever, you can't legislate commitment on the part of the other person. So these things do happen. And it's kind of a process of rediscovering God's love and care in your life. We want it to be different. We want to roll it back and fix it. And sometimes that hasn't been possible. So it's really a process of reorganizing a kind of our narrative of how this can make sense. And as I say, rediscovering God's love and God's care in your life in light of this. I'd say that the sovereignty of God is not something that we can generally see in the moment. We tend to see God's sovereignty clearly from a distance. So we look back on things, and you can think of all kinds of examples of things that have happened in the world where at the time it didn't seem like God was paying attention, and then in retrospect you look back and see his sovereignty. But fellowship, although these things are difficult, but fellowship and involvement in your church community, with your church friends, these offer opportunities to share that loss and turmoil, and to, as we spoke earlier, to rewrite that narrative or rewrite that memory, and to process it and to get it reorganized and to allow God to speak into it and speak order into it. When I say God speaking into it and speaking order into it, we don't, of course, hear an audible voice telling us to move this here and that there. But people know what I mean. There's an order comes into it, and God does bring that about. He does play the central role in healing.
Churches these days are obviously very used to people going through a divorce. Was a time when that was very uncommon, and it was kind of very shameful, even if you were the jilted one. Mm-hmm. To still be in a Christian environment, in a church environment. Churches aren't like that these days.
No.
And that's a good thing, don't you think? I mean, people, the reality is people get divorced and you have to move forward mm-hmm. and deal with the hurts that they have.
Yeah, and it's a very personal thing. I think regardless of what stance the church has on it, there are a lot of churches, and I probably tend to agree with this, the fact that that there isn't an excuse for, there isn't a reason or a legitimate reason for a divorce. But I went through a divorce and I didn't believe in divorce then. And people, Christian people struggling with divorce, they don't believe that they should be divorced. And so even though it's had to happen, there's always a stigma. I've quite often, if not always, hear people use the word failure. Because in that context, it does feel like they've failed people. So it doesn't make it, the church congregation or leadership can have different views of it, but when it happens to you, the reality is that that's where you are. You're having to put things back together, whether you believed in it or whether or not.
Okay, well, I think we can agree that churches these days, any church that's worth its salt, is mm-hmm. going to be helpful mm-hmm. for the single person, yeah. regardless of what happened in a divorce yeah. situation. So moving forward then, some things that you want to talk about for the single person to get healthier, Yeah. You say here you tend to avoid planning at first.
That's one of the things that we kind of derailed. Obviously you can look at the marriage situation and people in marriage. They get a very general idea sometimes, or maybe another times a very specific idea of where they want the relationship to go and where they want to be in 10 years and how they want to raise the family. And again, all this, everything that we're talking about here is multiplied many times if children are involved. And so you sort of get frozen and you don't want to plan to move ahead. It just seems that you've lost control of the circumstances. And there are all kinds of things that kind of begin to pile up, financial responsibilities, sometimes even painful legal responsibilities, vocational choices for some people who have maybe particularly women who have, but men too, I guess women have been in the marriage and played a lesser role in income because the husband has been leading in that. Or it can be the other way around, where both incomes were needed. And now if children are involved, there's the husband needing to do child support and alimony and sort of financial, sometimes legal and vocational choices and location choices. You know, maybe somebody has to move, social growth and family matters. So we tend to kind of want to, just kind of hide from those things like the turtle in the shell. If we just kind of withdraw. And that's kind of where I see most people that come is in that they're sort of frozen in the process and don't really want to.
So how do you break out of that being frozen?
Well, you simply just taking the steps to be in fellowship, be involved. You know, a lot of moving on, and this isn't just to brush the pain under the carpet and ignore it, but a lot of moving on, looking around you and realizing that as painful as my situation is, there are people in the world, maybe even people within us, very near to me or very close to me geographically, who are in circumstances that are much, much worse. And so, recognizing that that my situation isn't the worst. Counting blessings, there are always things to be thankful for. It could be worse, so counting blessings, and then some practical helps. You know, and so this is kind of where I'd like to maybe leave people is just how important these things are. Even though you don't want to move on, there has to be a process of looking forward. So I'm not saying ignore the pain or just get over it, but I'm saying you have to kind of keep your eye on both ends of the court. You've got to be looking toward, I must move on.
Now, when you say move on here, you're not saying go out and get involved in another relationship right away.
No, I'm not. And that's a mistake that a lot of people make. But here, God wants us to learn to be full with Him. He wants us to learn His fullness. So even in this very painful thing, painful experience, this is an opportunity in life. Like every trauma that comes into life, these are the only ways that we actually learn how God can fill our hearts. And so this is an opportunity, painful opportunity, but an opportunity for us to learn how that God's fullness and God's provision. Just some points that just to kind of jot down if you're going through this experience. You need to find a warm church body, and you need to begin to be involved. Get outside of your situation. Just begin to step outside of your situation. For some people, it's going to take longer. It's going to be a little more difficult, but this is something that we have to lean in this direction. Talk to people about your loss, but also about the future. Don't just talk about the loss, but have a mind toward the future. Of course, there are times when it's going to feel very comfortable just to talk about what happened. I remember going through that a couple of times, too, and it just felt good to be able to really share with somebody who could really hear it all. But then, you need to be talking about your future, too, with people. For some people, you need to get rid of things that hold you back.
Now, like, for instance, what would that mean?
You know, I remember one of the things that happened in the divorce that I went through was the other person took all the photographs, and I've always been happy that that happened because that was just that much less that I had to. Mm. Now, if you've been, this is more difficult for some people and actually less practical for some people. If children are involved, you can't get rid of a lot of those things. So, but there maybe are things that are holding you back that you don't need. Sometimes friends have to be changed. Sometimes you lose. That's one of the things that you lose is your friendships. And so new friendships have to be made. Counseling for yourself and your family. I wouldn't say that counseling is always absolutely necessary, but if you can't find this, if you're struggling to find the warm church environment, if you're struggling to find a listening ear, if you're kind of spinning and you can't find direction, then a lot of times counseling can help to anchor. Or sometimes counseling can help children at certain ages. You know, that would be something if you have children, it might be a good idea to go to a counselor and get some opinions on whether or not, you know, a lot of times people feel like, well, counseling is just good. The kids are going through it. But sometimes, counseling can get in the way of the actual help. Maybe the parent needs to be the counselor. Personal time with the Lord.
I was
going to
say
priority.
The great counselor is a good time to get reacquainted with him.
We can't say this too strongly. Just making personal time with the Lord. That just has to be a top priority. And that's what brought me through, and that's what brings so many people through, is the ability to go to God with it. Now, it's not an instant thing. The pain just doesn't go away. It's a process. It's a process of learning how that God fills us. The Psalms, and particularly I love Psalms 139. You know, you've searched me and known me. Just the personal God that David knew, and this would be a time. So, finding a church, talking to people, sometimes counseling, some counseling, but making your personal time with God your absolute top priority.
Well, that sounds like that's always, you know, it kind of always comes back to that, getting mostly in touch with the Lord. That's how we get back in touch with ourself and our future. People need some help, though. They do need some counseling, and they need some direction. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor to the rescue, and this is his program, Sound Mind. Yeah. If people need to get in touch with you, Daniel, how do they do that?
You can call me at 425-778-6169, or you can email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. Again, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can also listen to this broadcast as well as many others there. With the podcasts. This has been Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.